Turkey hunting is one of my favorite things. And one of the key tools I use for turkey hunting is the Onyx Hunt Map. I use it incessantly when I'm hunting turkeys. Being able to find a new piece of public or gaining permission on private opens up opportunities for gobblers. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you this spring. Use the code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt. You'll find more birds this season. I'm telling you, I rely on Onyx Hunt when I'm hunting turkeys. It is an invaluable turkey hunting tool. Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable, they're very fashionable, and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit Tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia. I am your host, Spencer Newarth, and we are joined by all sorts of special guests today. We've got Chef Kevin Gillespie, Swimmy, Kimmy Werner, Duck Nerd Sean Weaver, and graphics guy Hunter Spencer, who has deemed today's round the April 1st Battle of Bozeman.
Oh, shit, he's here.
With his latest design.
I didn't realize he was sitting right there.
Has everyone seen the poster that I plastered up?
Yeah, no, I keep wanting to take a nice picture of it. Can I just get the artwork of it? Yeah.
When I was coming to the office today, I saw some guy. We get a lot of foot traffic by our place going to a local coffee shop. Somebody stopped and they read it for like 2 minutes and they walked away looking more confused than before when they didn't know what it was.
I can imagine.
I didn't know this was an MMA joint.
Oh, yeah. Now, I've been sticking these all over the office. And if you want to see it for yourself, you can go to Instagram and check out either at Spencer Newarth or at Brody J. Henderson to see the old-timey boxing poster between the Michigan Menace and the Colorado Kid. Now, this is trivia you're not going to get from Jeopardy or Trivial Pursuit or any bar and grill trivia. These are born out of the four verticals.
If I'm the Michigan Menace, he should be the Pennsylvania Kid.
It's okay. I mean,
here's why I wouldn't
Hunter
critique
was working
that.
With what he
the
had.
The Pennsylvania Peckerhead.
Pugilist.
The yep. Pennsylvania yeah. Pugilist.
Pennsylvania Pugilist.
In combat sports, it's sometimes common for somebody to list the area they train out of rather than where they're from.
Exactly.
When I was a kid.
I didn't know that.
When I was a kid, Brock Lesnar was the biggest thing in WWE. And I took so much pride that he hailed from Webster, South Dakota. But I felt so betrayed that when he would walk out and they'd show his little bio, it said Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's not where he's from. That's where he trained from.
But I thought he was an MMA guy.
He was WWE and MMA. He was phenomenal in WWE, just average at MMA.
You've driven by his parents' place.
You mean he was good at fake stuff and not good at real stuff?
He was a great heel, good on the mic, looked good in the ring. Love Brock Lesnar.
Phenomenal college wrestler, actually.
Yeah. And he went to, what was it, Minnesota? Right? Had a stint with the Vikings. That's enough about Brock Lesnar. Steve,
call me if you're still around.
What are the four verticals of Meat Eater?
I'll say it once again, and I'll explain why I think that we shouldn't do this.
Okay.
Hunting,
uh-huh.
Fishing, conservation, and culinary.
And I'll explain
however,
once again.
Has a little bit to do with the trivia show, but not a lot.
I'll explain again. That one time I had heard that like 20% of your listeners on a given moment are brand new.
So mine or someone's?
What's that?
Mine?
I had heard that on a radio show, a sports radio
show. That was covering our show?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. They're saying generally.
Sure.
Okay.
So I don't want to leave those folks in the dark.
But
so
I've got a bone.
But after months, I can't believe you haven't come up with a better way of explaining what the trivia show's about.
I've got a bone to pick with your conservation questions too, because everyone is about national parks. Like they have nothing to do with like.
That's not true. I have some public land ones. We've had a couple national parks.
There's a lot of
ones.
National park questions.
Brody, it's like fly trap, right? you suck all the people into certain spots. And keeps the rest of the nation
true.
Pretty.
Yeah, keep going to those national parks.
Now, there is a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. We've played 10 times so far. Steve has won 4 times. Brody has won 3 times. And Clay, Seth, and Giannis have each won once.
Oh, we're going to get a... we're going to try to get a title sponsorship.
Uh-huh.
A title sponsor for the trivia show.
Yep.
But the deal is the title sponsor has to match the $500.
Looking forward to it.
Yeah.
We're going to be sending a lot of money to
so if your listeners know anyone that wants to be the title sponsor.
Some folks want their
like
question.
Tide.
Some folks want their question read so badly when they send in Meat Eater questions. They'll be like, if Steve gets this wrong, I'll donate $20 to Land Access Initiative.
Yeah, Redbeard Restaurants will sponsor this if we quadruple the number of culinary questions so that I might actually win.
We can do a whole episode sponsored by Redbeard Restaurants. The last game, Giannis asked if a human could be suspended by their testicles in a fence the same way that we've seen it happen to squirrels and possums. To answer that question, I reached out to Dr. Alan Lazara,
resident physician,
and presented him with this scenario. A 19-year-old, 140-pound Chester Floyd has had 7 Busch Lights and was just at a house party that got busted by cops. He's been running for 2 blocks when he approaches an 8-foot-tall fence that he attempts to scale.
Mm-hmm.
But disaster strikes when Chester loses his balance at the fence's summit. You see, Chester decided to go commando tonight, and he just ripped his Wranglers, exposing his manhood that gets wedged between the fence's steel planks as Chester falls headfirst toward the earth.
His manhood or his testicles?
Can they be the same thing?
I think of them as separate. Okay. I mean, they're like a package unit.
His testicles.
Okay.
His testiculars. If you will.
They get wedged between the fence's steel plates as Chester falls headfirst toward the earth. Here is Dr. Alan Lazara explaining what happens next.
Experience being the first and greatest of all teachers, and my clinical experience with straddle injuries and anecdotal experience hearing stories growing up, scrotums that hit fences tear, they don't hang. Especially in this case, those steel plates would more likely act like knives and avulse Chester's testicles right off. If in a good situation, Chester's scrotum just tore, he'd need an ER evaluation, ultrasound of his testicles, and a retrograde urethrogram or an MRI to make sure his urethra didn't sustain an injury. And ultimately, he's going to need a urologist to take him to the OR for surgical repair. But to answer the question, if Chester could hang by his sack, I went and found a French study that used human cadaver back skin to test the dynamic tensile properties of human skin. Now in this study, they found the mean ultimate tensile strength was around 4,000 pounds per square inch. And I tried the calculations for Chester's scrotum on my own, but my physics are a little rusty and I don't want to bore Steve with the math. But by my calculations, Chester's theoretical scrotum could sustain a static hang. That doesn't take into account the running acceleration, different types of skin, angle of strain, or any tears in the skin that usually occur during a hasty escape. So, the most likely scenario is Chester's sack would rip or tear, but yes, it seems possible he could be suspended by his scrotum in a very specially designed and gentle fence.
So there you have it, Chester. Yeah. We could do it.
I'd like to put one of Chester's testicles in the Bratzler.
Oh my God.
Are you willing to donate, Chester?
Hey. Absolutely not.
Hey,
unless
there's
I
another...
end up having like... No, absolutely.
That's another scientific, another
how many
scientific
kids?
Publication.
That's another test we need to do. Some Rocky Mountain oysters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you heard it straight from Dr. Alan Lazara. Yes, it is possible, but not likely.
When I had one of our daughters being born, her birthday is 12/11/12, and one of the nurses commented to me that tomorrow will be a nut house down here. And I said, why is that? She said, because people are going to want 12, 12, 12. And she said, on 11, 11, 11, it was a nut house. And they spent the whole day sending people home who were trying to like act like they were in labor to land a sweet birth date. Point being, I wonder if people show up down at now that Adam Lazara, right? I wonder if people listen to the show What did I just call him?
Adam. You do no, that I don't. Every
I
time.
Did not. I said Alan.
You said Adam.
Bullshit.
Well, the gloves are coming
play it
off.
Back, Phil.
I love it. It's a real pretty fight.
It's a good start. We haven't even got to the questions
play
yet.
Play it back, Phil. I wonder if people show up down at now that Adam Lazara, right? See? Oh, okay, there's one option for Phil, depending. Or, well, I meant to say Alan. There's another option.
Thank you.
I wonder if people show up down there with self-inflicted or feigning injuries just to meet the legend himself.
And then hope it gets talked about here.
Or just, yeah, be like, I hear about this guy all the time. I'm going to go down there and act like I got hurt.
People are just going to text him photos hanging from a fence and be like, I got the toughest sack in the biz.
Actually, someone already did that.
Oh, good.
No. All right, go on, Spencer.
And we are on to Meat Eater Trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Suckers.
All right. Question one. This is going to be multiple choice, as always. And the topic is mountain men.
Well, I feel like real quick. One sec. Kimmy's never played before.
She said she's listened to the podcast.
I listened to one.
She studied up.
I don't think I'm going to
well, do I just wanted to, more. I wanted to honor your presence more.
Oh, thank you.
Because, yeah. Hunter, you played.
I have.
Yeah. Did you get whooped?
I did good until about halfway through, and then the wheels fell off.
So you got whooked.
You can just say yes. It's yeah. All right. I have no shame in that.
Okay. So, are you nervous?
I was, but not anymore. No. Okay. I feel ready.
All right, buddy. Kimmy Werner.
I feel honored that you're nervous, though.
Find her on Instagram at Kimmy Swimmy, but not normal Kimmy. K-I-M-I.
Now, question one, as always, is multiple choice, and the topic is mountain men. According to some accounts, Kit Carson's last words were, "Wish I had time for just one more blank." Is it kiss from my third wife, Rocky Mountain rendezvous, bowl of chili, or Mexican sunset? Now, these are the last words from Kit Carson, a famous frontiersman, and the quote is, "Wish I had time for just one more blank." Is it kiss from my third wife, Rocky Mountain rendezvous, bowl of chili, or Mexican sunset? Steve, you're not familiar?
No, and I read Blood and Thunder.
Where does Kit Carson rank in your...
Not high.
No, not high?
No.
Okay.
Very interesting dude, but I don't rank him high as a mountain man.
Oh, okay. No. Does everybody have an answer? Yes. Go ahead and... Oh, hold on. Chester's erasing. Had a change of heart. Are you ready?
If it makes you feel better, I went with what I want it to be, not what I think it is.
Correct. 100%.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying...
Bowl of chili.
You got to write it out. Bowl of chili. Kevin saying bowl of chili.
Chester, what are you doing?
It's D.
Chester saying Mexican sunset. Steve saying bowl of chili. Hunter saying Rocky Mountain rendezvous. Kimmy saying bowl of chili. Brody saying kiss from my third wife. Corinne saying bowl of chili. And Sean saying Mexican sunset. The correct answer is bowl of chili.
Yes.
The room did very well.
Man, Kit Carson, unbelievable character.
Unbelievable character. That's not what he asked me.
Well, yeah, but if he stack said, him up against any mountain
If he said
man.
Rank him among scouts, rank him among great Western scouts, I'd be like, oh, very high. But as a mountain man, I don't rank him that high.
Carson died in 1868 in Colorado.
This is antiquated thinking, people.
After falling off of a horse that caused an aneurysm. In the last hours, he ate a buffalo steak, drank a pot of coffee, and smoked his pipe. Some say his final sentence was, "Wish I had time for just one more bowl of chili," while other sources claim his dying words were, "Doctor, compadre, adios."
Hmm.
I like the first one, though.
I know he put in a request for that buffalo steak.
How do you know that?
Blood and Thunder.
We are on to question two. The topic is turkeys. This next great question comes to us via Eric McGee. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
Was he married three times? I know he's married twice.
He was.
I know he was married three times. He married a Native American woman. She died. He sent their child from that union off somewhere and then married a woman from Mexico, right?
I think he maybe had two Native American wives, and then the third one was from Mexico.
Yeah.
We're on to question two. The topic is turkeys, again via Eric McGee. An immature male turkey is called a Jake. What is the name for an immature female turkey? An immature male turkey is a Jake. What do you call an immature female turkey? You know it, Brody?
I believe I do.
Okay.
We'll find out.
Some quick answers and some no answers.
Brody, what'd you have for that last one?
I got it wrong.
Uh-oh.
Gloating before the game's over.
That'll get him. That'll get him. Yep.
Does everybody have an answer?
No.
No, because I can't think of the word I'm trying to think of. But go ahead. I don't want to hold the whole show up.
Everybody, reveal your answers. We have Cal.
No. Too late.
I'm not looking at anybody. He's looking at my eyeballs. How's that?
Cal, you got to go higher for me here. Help me out.
Sorry.
Cal saying, I don't know what he even wrote down.
That's fine.
Kevin without an answer. Chester without an answer. Steve saying, sure.
A Susie.
Susie.
Oh, nice.
Hunter without an answer. Kimmy saying a Jane. Brody saying a Jenny. Corinne saying a Jenny.
I've heard you say that.
And Sean without an answer. The correct answer is a Jenny.
Ah, damn.
And now we're even.
I feel like Jane is so close.
Damn it, man. I was thinking Jenny, but there's a Ginny Mule, right? Which is like what the opposite of what you get when you know what I'm talking about. Like if you, when you take a donkey and a horse, right? And if it's a male, it's a blank. Or if it's, Cal, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Where's Clay?
I get you. A Ginny Mule
is like something or another. I don't know.
I actually killed a bearded Jenny a few years ago in South Dakota. And just like with Jake's, a Jenny's tail fan is longer in the middle and shorter on the sides. This is because when juvenile turkeys molt at the end of summer, they only replace their middle tail feathers. If you want to see that picture, that bearded Jenny I killed, I put it up on my Instagram at Spencer Newharth.
My wife's new hunting code name, she doesn't like it, but it's the bearded hen. Hates it.
You know what? She doesn't like that.
You know what your daughter said when I asked her about killing a bearded hen the other day? She said she didn't like it because there wasn't much meat on it.
That's what I know. Oh. I've been trying to sell her on it, but she's like mildly disappointed.
Good on her. Question three, the topic is dogs. According to the United Kennel Club, there are 7 types of coon hounds. Name one of them. According to the UKC, there are 7 types of coon hounds. Name one of them.
I feel like you should ask for 2 at least.
Yeah, that's a pretty stupid.
I don't know. Nope. Oh. Just say one. I'm guessing.
You guys want to lob any other insults out there? We got time.
That's a softball, man.
It's a real softball. Watch Brody gets it wrong.
Does everybody have the softball answer?
No red fern grows in your family?
Damn it, Cal. That's like 2 infractions. One, he's still writing after everyone revealed their thing, and now he's throwing out hints.
Everyone else had an answer. He was just like, I feel like that.
It's like 2 infractions.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying a red tick. Cal, I'm going to ask you again. This is your 3rd infraction. You got to raise up your whiteboard. Kevin saying blue tick. Chester saying blue tick. Steve saying a walker. Hunter saying a plot. Kimmy saying a greyhound. Brody saying a blue tick. Corinne saying a blue tick.
Confused.
And Sean saying a blue tick. The room did very well. The UKC recognizes the American leopard, the black or tan, the blue tick, the English, the plots, the red bones, and the treeing walkers.
Is it black or black and?
It says black or tan.
Okay.
What's this leopard thing you're talking about?
American leopard. I don't know. The UKC even has a Coonhound Hall of Fame, which has been around since 2012. Of the 51 Coonhounds in the Hall of Fame, 17 are treeing walkers and 16 are blue ticks. They lead the Coonhound group.
Yeah, in Michigan, that was like, I don't know anybody that did it that didn't have a walker.
Mm.
But then what Clay uses, plots, don't he?
Yeah, so I actually texted Clay this morning and asked what he has. He has plots and fice, which fice must not be a coonhound.
No, they're squirrel dogs.
Where I'm from, everybody has red bones.
Is that right?
In Georgia, yeah.
The old Mingus is a blue tick.
Oh. Phil, so I got that wrong.
already got it.
No. A red tick. What the hell's that?
All full of blood.
It's combo. It's crossbreed.
All full of blood.
Yeah, that's the fun part about these hound folks. They talk more about how they came up with their dog versus what their dog is.
Yeah, I
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We are on to question four. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Jacob Zutterman. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com.
What do people get when you accept their question?
Nothing yet, but we are working on creating a listener question of the week that will be sent a prize. We don't have that lined up yet, but soon. Keep sending in these great questions. These three states that border each other are the only states in America with a flathead catfish record over 100 pounds. Name one of them.
Hit me again.
These three states that border each other are the only states in America with a flathead catfish record over 100 pounds. Name one of these states.
Name only one.
Just name one.
Don't go thinking it's a blue cat. It's a flathead.
A flathead over 100 pounds.
I have a clarifying question, but I don't know if I can ask it.
No.
I think it's a flawed question.
What's out there is out there.
I think I provided all the necessary details. Does everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Kentucky, Kevin saying Mississippi, Chester saying Iowa, Steve saying Missouri, Hunter saying Kentucky, Kimmy saying Louisiana, Brody saying South Carolina, Corinne saying
Keep
Missouri,
pause a minute.
And
Why
Sean
do you have
saying
question marks
Oklahoma.
After your answer? Because is that the answer or not?
Yeah, I'll take my question marks away then.
Okay, go on.
Corinne if, saying you want to talk with Steve on his answers, you can write into defensive at themeatbeater.com.
The correct answers are Nebraska, Kansas, and Missouri.
Hey! What'd you have, bro?
Damn it.
Don't you worry about it, man.
The biggest state record flathead was caught in 1998 from Elk City Reservoir of Kansas. The angler was fishing for crappie using a bobber and minnow when he hooked into the 123-pound flathead. He said he likely wouldn't have landed the fish, but a fierce wind had waves rolling into shore directly at him. After about a 20-minute fight, the catfish helplessly got caught in the waves and allowed the man to drag it to the bank. Huh. What would be your clarifying question? Because all three states touch each other.
I was wondering if noodling counts versus
I don't think
Ron
anybody's
Reel.
Noodling 100-pound
because you're because your knowledge of this is so nuanced.
No, not at all. But because I would figure that people would catch bigger ones noodling, but I don't know if that's true at all.
Mm. I think you'd have trouble wrestling 100-pounder.
Yeah, but you're
now you're
going
to get a lot of noodling enthusiasts.
I was going
to
say.
Brody's going to have a new head. Pretty soon Brody won't be able to walk down the road.
Yeah. Noodling dog
hey,
owners.
I didn't say, I don't got anything against noodling.
I met some fellas in Kentucky that I would think would be just fine.
And they probably own blue ticks. We are on to question five. The topic is cooking. After this question, we will get a scoreboard update from Phil the Engineer. What fast food chain sold venison sandwiches as a hunting season promotion in 2016 and 2017? Fairly confident room. What fast food chain sold venison sandwiches as a hunting season promotion in 2016 and 2017?
I'll make Phil's job easier. He doesn't have to put that in.
Are we waiting on Chester?
Say it one more time.
This fast food chain sold venison sandwiches as a hunting season promotion in 2016 and 2017.
Brody looks depressed.
I'll give you a hint.
No, don't give any hints.
A colonel.
Does everybody have an answer?
He's a former military man.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Arby's, Kevin saying Arby's, 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 Kimmy saying Carl's Jr., Brody saying Arby's, 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 Arby's is the correct
Why
answer.
Why is you look so depressed, Brody?
Because I'm digging myself out of a hole, man.
Oh. In 2016, the deer meat sandwiches sold out in 15 minutes at an Arby's in Minnesota and 90 minutes at an Arby's in Georgia.
I think it was all New Zealand red deer.
It did come from New Zealand. That year, they were only available at 17 locations in Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Tennessee, in Georgia. But it was so popular that when they did the promotion again in 2017, they did it in all 50 states and even added an elk sandwich to the menu for Colorado, Wyoming, and Montana.
I protested it at the time, and I'd protest it again.
They sent out, I know you got them too, but they sent out seasonings, and they were actually legit. They were good.
Arby's did?
Yeah.
For venison?
I don't mind the red deer thing much, but I mind the elk thing greatly.
Why?
I don't think they should do that to elk.
Yeah, but you're not protesting.
Turn them into a sandwich?
No, I think the elk should be wild and free.
Phil, hit us with a scoreboard update. We are halfway through the game of trivia.
Sure thing. I'm pretty sure this is accurate, but it's the most full room we've had. So.
I'll tell you, if it has me up top, it's accurate.
All right. Kimmy Werner has 1 point.
Nice, Kimmy.
Coming up next, we have Hunter, Sean, Cal, and Chester with 2 points. Kevin and Brody each have 3 points. Steve Ranella has 4. And in first place is Corinne Schneider.
Oh, no way.
With 9 points.
Corinne, oh my God.
Should we just quit playing?
What about those question marks?
That's not
marks?
Question marks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but the question marks, I'd knock off a half point.
She'd still be winning, by the way.
Spring is a great time to do something with your family. Do some spring cleaning, which I kind of started today outside, planning outdoor activities, which I'm always doing, taking a little trip to Hawaii with your kids for spring break, which I just did, which was great. You know what else you can do for your family this spring? You can shop for life insurance with Policy Genius. Make that part of your financial planning for the year. I've said it before 1,000 times, I'll say it again. When my wife and I, when we started having kids, we got serious about life insurance, and man, I felt so much better after we did. With Policy Genius, you can find life insurance policies that start at just $292 per year for $1 million of coverage. Some options offer same-day approval and avoid unnecessary medical exams. Even if you already have a life insurance policy through work, it may not offer enough protection for your family's needs, and it may not follow you if you leave your job. So save time and money and provide your family with a financial safety net using Policy Genius. Head to policygenius.com or click the link in the description to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you could save. That's policygenius.com. I want to tell you about an American-made success story and Black Buffalo's award-winning nicotine pouches. Black Buffalo was built by dippers with decades of smokeless tobacco use. Black Buffalo is all about the history and tradition of dip, but they understand the convenience and discretion modern-day consumers are looking for. Black Buffalo's nicotine pouches give you the versatility to consume discreetly, but keep the ritual with flavors dippers love. Mint, straight, and wintergreen, all proudly made right here in the USA. Tell them, Chili.
The reason I like Black Buffalo pouches is, one, they're very discreet. And what I mean by that is I can throw one in and almost forget it's there. And I prefer the mint pouches.
So if you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco. Rain or shine, every day is a great day for fishing, right? And you probably got rain gear, but you shouldn't overlook sunny day gear. Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie has you covered on the sunniest day. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite Hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. I mean, who wouldn't trade a sunburn for a trophy fish? But why do it if you don't have to? Especially when this Solar Stream Elite hoodie is built with broad spectrum UV protection. We're talking UPF 50, and it has airflow so you don't overheat. And what's the alternative? Putting down the rod every half hour so you can slather on some sunscreen. Seems like an easy choice to me. So if you're going to be spending long days out on the water, and I sincerely hope that you will be, head on over to Columbia.com/PFG and shop all of their performance fishing gear.
We are on to question 6. The topic is gear. This next great question comes to us via FHF's own Rick Hutton. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Now, if folks think this is redundant that I always have to tell them to send it to trivia@themeateater.com, Corey Calkins, who runs our regular inbox, gets about 10 of these emails a day. I get about 5 Instagram DMs a day. So listen close here. trivia@themeateater.com. I'm going to keep repeating that.
Wait till Corey starts getting flooded with things that say, test my meat.
Yeah, you just... Oh, gaps.
When it comes to the 30-30 Winchester, the first 30 represents the caliber of the bullet. What does the second 30 represent? This is from FHF's own Rick Hutton. The first 30 in the 30-30 Winchester is the caliber of the bullet. What is the second 30? Not a super confident room. How you feeling, Brody?
Give me a minute.
Very good.
Oh, okay. Ooh. Not
Steve.
You're
still cocky?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
He didn't say cocky. He said good. He said good.
So good because Steve looks confused.
Well, I know it's one of two things is the problem. Give me a second. Okay, I don't like it, but I got one down.
Does everybody have an answer? Corinne's still scribbling. You good? Go ahead and reveal your answers. Cal has his phone out as well. Cal says grains of powder. Kevin says grains of powder. Chester says how much powder. Steve says 1930. Hunter says powder. Kimmy says the diameter. Brody says the powder. Corinne says the powder. And Sean without an answer. The correct answer is 30 grains of smokeless powder. So the room did very well.
That wasn't even my second choice.
Well, what would have been your second choice?
Something, you know how like the 4570 is like casing length and stuff. Isn't the isn't that, or is that another powder charge?
I
there's some
that was
there's some
charge.
That has like a there's some that has a casing length, but it wouldn't make any sense.
The 30-30 Winchester has competed in 2 caliber battles written by Jordan Sillers on TheMeatEater.com, once against the 35 Remington and once against the 350 Legend in a battle of the best lever action cartridges. If you want to know the winners, and I promise you do. And learn a ton about these calibers, go to the website and type in 30-30 Winchester.
Corinne had it right. Yeah.
She got
what
it right.
What specifically did you have?
She said grains of powder.
I saw a lot of
weight.
Stuff on there.
I put grains
and then I put powder. Why are you so interested in what Corinne's writing down there?
She's up. She's in the
Oh, I see the grains.
Now it's like it's changed from Brody to Corinne. Yeah.
Like in the Olympics, they're probably not like drug testing the piss out of like people that didn't even like do good. They drug test
my experience with 30-30. You can miss 7 times.
The 30-30. Didn't you have a? What'd you have? A 32?
I had I had a Model 94 and 32 special.
That's cool.
Stubby little like.
That's an old trapper gun.
And I had a peep sight. And it had a reducer in it. And as it started getting dark at night, you always had to back that reducer out. Yeah, but I killed some deer with it.
Yeah,
that's that shell casing I found in BC with it was a 32, right?
You know what I did? I sold it to a place that sold guns and wood stoves. I got ripped. Yeah, I sold for $300 because I wanted a bolt action 30-06.
Mm-hmm.
Stupidest thing I ever did. And here's the funny thing: it was given to me.
But the 06 is a great one. For this conversation, right? Because that's a 30 caliber produced in 1906.
That's correct.
So
good follow-up. Okay.
That was in the first game of trivia we ever played. We're on to question 7. The topic is conservation. According to the USGS, there are 5 states west of the Mississippi River in the lower 48 where CWD hasn't been detected. Name 2 of them. This is according to the USGS, who just updated the map about a week ago. There are 5 states west of the Mississippi River in the lower 48 where CWD hasn't been detected. Name 2 of them. A fairly confident room, seems like.
What you putting down, Brody?
This is a tough one, man.
Looking for 2 of the 5 states.
I don't like this question.
Why?
Because I don't know the answer.
Does everybody have an answer?
It's like the ones he knows.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying Arizona and New Mexico. Kevin saying New Mexico and Arizona. Chester saying New Mexico and Nevada. Steve saying California and Nevada. Hunter saying Arizona and New Mexico. Kimmy saying Hawaii and Cali. Brody saying Arizona and Oregon.
No, no, that's a concept lower 48.
Oh, that was a bad move.
Corinne with just California and Sean saying Arizona and Oregon. The correct answer is Washington, Oregon, Nevada, California, and Arizona.
It's in New Mexico.
Corinne, what'd you have? Let me see.
I she only didn't put down two. I was an
couldn't
idiot.
Think of another
I put
state.
Down one. Everyone needs to study cwd-info.org. Just Jim Heffelfinger's.
Phil. That's everybody.
Oklahoma almost makes the list, but CWD has been detected there in captive herds of deer. Between the disease's presence in deer farms and the wild herds of every state surrounding it, it's sadly just a matter of time before hunters there start encountering CWD.
I think you got to retract that. What do you mean almost makes the list?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's there.
No.
It seems like it'd be like binary.
But it's only been found in like two deer farms. So they haven't found in any wild deer yet.
And we know that, you know, once it's in a deer, it just stays there.
Is there any states left east of the Mississippi?
A lot of the New England. There's only like 30 states at this point that have it, and they're all like little, they're all together. So like a lot of New England, a lot of the Southeast, like Florida and the states around it. And then obviously the West.
Hey, when we launch our board game, be mindful of questions that are likely to change rapidly.
That one, I think Mississippi was just added to the list like yesterday. Yeah. So it happens.
Don't put that
often
in the board game.
Okay.
Oh man. If I put Mississippi, I'd be so mad right now.
We are on to question eight. We will get another scoreboard update after this. The topic is fishing. According to the World Wildlife Fund, this is the smallest and most abundant of the major commercial tuna species. According to the World Wildlife Fund, this is the smallest and most abundant of the major commercial tuna species. Confident room. So far. You think you got this one, Kimmy?
I do. I really hope so.
This one plays to Kimmy's strengths right here.
Does everybody have an answer?
It's going to be crushing if you mess it up.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying albacore, Kevin saying albacore, Chester saying bonita, Steve saying yellowfin, Hunter saying yellowfin, Kimmy saying skipjack, Brody bonita, saying albacore, right. Corinne saying skipjack, and Sean saying bonita. The correct answer is skipjack.
Ah, damn it.
Dang.
Just,
I don't know how I forgot.
Just Kimmy and Corinne.
Yeah.
Corinne got it?
Corinne is crushing right
skip
now.
Skipjack out of a can?
Dude, Corinne, this is awesome.
That's what tuna fish is.
Although their meat isn't as prized.
Oh, yeah.
All I'm ever reading about is how damn many yellowfin are out there and how there's more than ever. And
true, but not as much as skipjack.
What's the difference between skipjack and albacore? They're two different species.
They are.
Totally different.
Although their meat isn't as prized as other types of tuna, Kimmy Werner has all kinds of great ways to cook them. If you go to her YouTube channel and type in skipjack tuna, you'll see how she serves the fish for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was a great video.
Thanks.
Who are you
going
to donate your money to, Corinne? I mean, if.
Well, we got a scoreboard update. Let's hear the scoreboard update from Phil.
I once caught a skipjack on a spinning rod, and then a marlin ate it before I could get it back to the boat.
Marlin loves
it. Did you eat the marlin?
Oh, yeah. If I would have seen it again.
Does anyone know if albacore is the same as bonita?
Albacore is not.
It
the
is
same.
Not. No. And bonita is not the same as skipjack either.
What's Starkist? Is that albacore?
That's. Well, they have both.
So what's a bonita?
Yeah, they do both.
It's
is it a mackerel?
Something like a wavy tuna, I think they call it. But it looks like a skipjack, but it's different. It's bloodier. Mm. Even bloodier than a skipjack. And skipjack is like what most cans of tuna are, but they do have cans that are albacore and they'll be marked albacore and it's lighter and drier.
Yeah.
All right. Final scoreboard update for the April 1st battle in Bozeman. Steven Ranilla is in third place with 5 points.
Oh my goodness, man.
Brody Henderson has 6, and in first place is Corinne with 7 points.
Corinne, we got 2 questions left. Question 9, the topic is foraging. This next great question comes to us via Ben Arisman. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What foraged item has the nickname green gold because it's worth about $500 per pound? What foraged item goes by the nickname green gold because it's worth about $500 per pound.
God, I'd hate to be Kevin on this one.
No, it's just like,
Hey, let me really think about this.
Again, it's referred to as green gold, and it's worth $500 per pound. A fairly stumped room so far. Has anybody written down an answer?
I got one down, buddy.
Corinne, come on.
The king.
I have one thing that's Corinne's gonna get this special one. Against all y'all.
Yep. What, you cheating?
Oh, she's Asian.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Don't be giving up. Yeah. Who did that? Who did that? That is an infraction.
Your friend Cal again.
Yeah. That's an infraction.
That is total infraction.
Oh, look at all this.
Listen, we need a new question.
After Cal said that, four people went to their whiteboard.
I was already.
That is total. And that's like, we need to start penalizing people.
You know,
most, I am going to take a video of this.
You can't start cheating.
Point of order. You know,
I think most folks think of Cal as being a quiet guy, but we get immediate trivia. Can't help himself. Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah.
Mine's not right.
Everybody does now.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Cal saying, what does that say, Cal?
Oolong.
Ginseng. Oolong. Ginseng. Kevin saying ginseng. Jester without an answer. Steve saying ginseng. Ginseng, ginseng. Brody saying ramps.
I didn't change mine after the infraction. Okay.
Corinne saying ginseng exclamation point. And Sean saying ginseng. The correct answer is ginseng. That $500 per pound is the dehydrated weight. It takes
You know when they had to do the Nuremberg trials or what? And they put the people in the, you have to do the trial in a glass box.
In the box.
So people can't hear what you're ranting and raving about. Cal needs to play in a box.
He can sit outside the studio and just look at us. Now that $500 per pound is the dehydrated weight. It takes about 3 pounds of wet ginseng to get a pound of dry ginseng. Some states categorize ginseng as endangered, while others list it as vulnerable or threatened. Population declines have been credited to overharvest by humans and booming herds of whitetails.
And you don't feel like that dehydrated detail was important enough to include in there?
No.
Oh, you know what? Your little feedback.
Uh-huh.
Constructive feedback.
Okay.
You know how you do that little tidbit afterward? You tell something interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
I would include it about when Daniel Boone lost a fortune of ginseng.
Oh, tell us about it.
He like spent all his time digging and buying ginseng and put it in a keelboat and swamped the keelboat and lost a fortune of it. It was one of his several major financial calamities that turned him into a poor man. He tried to dry it out in the bank, but it was just lost. Some of it.
We have one question left. Give us another scoreboard update, Phil.
Well, Corinne's got it in the bag. She has 8 points, and Brody and Steve have 6.
All right.
But Brody and Steve are tied up, so they need. I think they still need to play this out.
We still got the Battle of Bozeman going on here.
Who do we have for the
Where did Corinne now? Come from?
Yeah.
Corinne's never even been on my radar.
Wild.
Two, I got 6 or 5.
Oh, you did? Oh, I didn't know you had some strong performances.
Yeah, you just weren't paying attention.
The last question, which Corinne has already wrapped this up, but again, the Battle of Bozeman between Brody and Steve can still be decided here. The topic is conservation. What Great Lakes state has the most plants and animals on the endangered species list? What Great Lakes state has the most plants and animals on the endangered species list? To specify, that means it is a state that touches a Great Lake. What Great Lake state has the most plants and animals on the endangered species list? The room is just playing for second place. While Corinne thinks about where she's going to donate her $500.
That's a great question.
Oh, it's such a good question.
I had to work hard to find this. Took a lot of mining of the internet. Does everybody have an answer?
Yeah, I do.
Everybody else?
It's a great question.
Cal is erasing, rewriting. You want to give out a hint here, Cal?
Yeah, you want to do an infraction?
I'll tell you what the most endangered.
He's like, matter of fact,
I do. Yeah. Freshwater mussels.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We got Cal saying Ohio, Kevin saying New York, Chester saying Wisconsin, Steve saying New York, Hunter saying Minnesota, Kimmy saying Michigan, Brody saying New York, Corinne without an answer, couldn't think of a Great Lakes state.
Corinne, why, you just gave up because you won?
Sean saying Michigan.
Kind of.
The correct answer, which nobody got,
what?
Is Illinois.
Huh.
Illinois is home to 21 endangered species that are believed to live in the state. That's followed by Indiana with 18, Ohio with 15, New York, Michigan, and Wisconsin with 12, Minnesota with 10, and Pennsylvania with 9.
Yeah, let me tell you something, though.
How many of those 21 are freshwater mussels?
Many are mussels.
Here's why that's a trick question.
Uh-huh.
Illinois is scoring all that because of the river. It's not scoring that because of Lake Michigan.
What's the
Because
problem?
You're sending people down a path of thinking about the lakes.
The problem is
this is an accurate question.
Yeah.
I picked New York because it had a coastline.
That's what I was doing. That's what I was doing. I was thinking about rivers.
For that reason.
Trick question.
Either way, you know how when two famous boxers fight to a draw?
No, I don't know. Does that happen?
Does that happen?
Draws
go to a decision. They go to a decision. Corinne is our winner.
Were you able to score as high as you did, but then you don't know any states that border the Great Lakes?
I do.
She didn't want to rub it in.
Yeah.
Corinne, this is such a letdown.
Yeah, Corinne's not here to guess.
Corinne, where are you going to donate your $500?
Oh, hold on, Corinne. I actually prepared some audio just in case this ever happened. And man, I'm thrilled that it did. Corinne, you just won Meat Eater Trivia. Is there anyone you'd like to thank?
Oh, thank you, everyone. I would like to thank my parents, my dog, and our very own Spencer Newharth for giving me the answers. Happy April Fool's Day, everyone.
Good one.
You sons of bitches, great. Really.
Wow.
I started thinking,
I was like,
I knew it.
It's uncanny. It's unprecedented.
Oh, I don't know why people have this reaction. I thought she had a dinner the whole time.
Now, if we want to see who would win between Steve and Brody, I have a tiebreaker ready since you guys tied with 6 correct. Did anybody else get 6?
Nope.
Okay. So we're going to put you guys to a tiebreaker
so
right now.
So now it's back to us being...
It's back to you guys. Corinne is going to pick where the money goes. But it
people
is back...
People are think this was so rigged.
To the April 1st Battle of Bozeman. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, I hate these. By the way, I hate these number questions. It's just like
what's
guessing.
Up?
If I win, I'm picking. Because you fed her the answers.
Nah, Corinne's picking.
Okay.
You guys ready?
Yeah. Is everyone playing for fun?
Yeah.
Oh, you play whatever, you do whatever you want. The only two that matter are Brody and Steve. I have a list in front of me of the 400 tallest mountains in North America. Here's what we're going to do for the tiebreaker.
Hold on, start over. Okay, I got it.
I have a list in front of me of the 400 tallest mountains in North America. Here's what we're going to do for the tiebreaker. You are going to write down the two tallest mountains you can think of on the continent. We will then add up the elevation for both, and whoever has the highest number will be declared the winner. If you both happen to write down the same mountains, then we will keep going until someone is victorious. So Brody and Steve writing down the tallest mountains that they can think of to see who gets second place to Corinne.
Problem is, I don't know if this... I want him to say it. Steve will get mad.
It's adding the two highest.
That's a great question.
That is a great question.
Who came up with that?
Me.
That's a great question.
Now, this is going to take a second.
You got to add it up.
I'm going to have to add these up once you guys reveal. Brody, how we doing?
I don't know.
You got two written down?
Yeah.
Steve, do you have two written down?
The problem is I don't know if they're two different mountains.
Do you have two written down?
Yeah, they're different.
Okay, we will have Brody reveal first. Show me so I can add up what your elevation is. He says Denali, which is the tallest mountain on the continent.
Well, then he screwed up.
But he messed up.
and wrote its
McKinley
former name.
Is that's the true, same yeah. mountain. So we don't even need to add these up. Steve says Denali and Pikes. Let me find.
Well, no, take Denali, and that's his number.
No, I mean, do and we really
take
need
Denali
to add
and
them
Pikes,
up
and that's
point?
My number. Let's see how much better my number was.
Pikes. Pikes is 53rd on the list, making you the winner by 14,000 feet.
Congratulations.
So we have Corinne is the winner. Second place, Steve.
So, Corinne, where does my money go?
That's right.
And better,
where are we donating to?
I'd like it to go to the Land Access Initiative or TRCP.
Oh, I was going to suggest Rough Grouse Society, but maybe we should throw it to...
Old Ted would be happy about that.
How do you feel, Steve? We can
I told
negotiate.
You how I feel.
Land Access.
Hey, Rough Grouse Society is doing great work on the North American grasslands conservation.
And we've app. Never donated any money
we
there.
We haven't donated any money there.
Do it.
Be strong, Corinne.
Rough Grouse.
Rough Grouse.
All right. Thank you, everybody.
Hold on. Hold on. Now, last time we played, you weren't satisfied with my sign-off, so I came up with something here.
Oh,
and
great.
You can judge it after we do it. You ready?
Yeah.
Join us next time on another round of Meat Eater Trivia. The only game show where conservation always wins.
Hey!
Oh, yeah. We good?
Sorry, man. This guy's going to get a real game show job.
That's the new closer. I'm going to hit it one more time for us. Join us next time for another round of Meat Eater Trivia. The only game show where conservation always wins.
All right. It's good the second time.
Name a town after that.
Hey, we're going to take a little break here and talk about Interstate batteries. Now, if you're like me, enjoying the great outdoors, you need gear that is as reliable as it gets. That's why I power my adventures with Interstate batteries. I use Interstate batteries in my boats. I use Interstate batteries in my camper. Great for your truck, too. From Alaska to Montana, they're outrageously dependable. Battery is essential. With over 150,000 dealer locations, finding one is easy. For all your vehicles, land or sea, choose Interstate. Head to interstatebatteries.com and find your power today. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.